professional wrestler and former Ring of Honor Pure Wrestling champion, Hurricane John Walters.
What's going on, guys? This is Supermax Hernandez, a.k.a. Hot Stuff Hernandez.
What's up, guys? You're listening to Joel Jose Maximo, the SAT.
This is Shaheem Ali.
This is Crowbar, and you're listening to the ROH Review.
Hello, and welcome to the ROH Review, episode 26. I am three-time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman.
And I'm pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
Whee! How are you doing today, Stephen?
Yeah, feeling good. It's still sunny outside if you're watching the video. If you're listening to the audio, it's still sunny. Still in lockdown. We're still socially distancing ourselves as much as we can. but yeah, doing well, doing good, and looking forward to the show tonight. How about yourself, Oliver?
Yeah, I'm doing well here, thank you. Just dawned on us with the the re-debut on Fight Network UK this Wednesday after Impact Wrestling, that we're going to have to produce two ROH reviews in the space of a few days to get caught up. So that'll be a challenge. But we love the product. That's why we do it. We wouldn't do it if we didn't. And everything's fine and dandy here. Just hope everyone's safe and well, socially distancing themselves. It's really terrible to be in isolation, hopefully not there alone. And, hopefully this lockdown is lifted or less restrictive by, Sunday, Monday. We'll have to keep. So, yeah, going into the show, Stephen, do you want to do your best Bobby Cruz impression?
I absolutely will. Without further ado, so our opening match this evening is the Women of Honor match, and it is between the gatekeeper, Kelly Klein, and Scarlett Bordeaux. So, Oliver, what did you make of this one?
Well, a really interesting tidbit before we start is that Scarlett Bordeaux and Killer Kross are going to be debuting tonight on NXT. Tomorrow night on NXT. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Tuesday, my days are gone. My days are gone. 4 days off, my days are gone. Tomorrow night on NXT. Bloopers, woo! So that's really interesting and shows how far everyone's come, especially Scarlett Bordeaux. So, yeah, we always look at the views. So 423,000 views, but we don't want women's wrestling in Ring of Honor. No, never, ever. This is a grudge match which has been building up over time to the point where Stevens played a beaut by adding this match into our weekly matches that we look at, because we've had other matches where Kelly Klein and Scarlett Bordeaux have come to almost come to blows, and this is when they finally do. It's a grudge match, and if you want to tweet about this, it's women_of_honor. Ian Riccoboni and QT Marshall on commentary did a great job. Kelly Klein, the gatekeeper, not CJ Banks here in the UK. although we'd like to see a match between those two. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
for the gatekeeper name, I think. Kelly Klein takes Scarlett Bordeaux lightly because obviously she was a ring announcer. That's what they're trying to put across. Scarlett's web was a beautiful submission move, but then she got caught in the... Something towards the gates?
Can't remember the name.
Call yourself an ROH expert. Well, basically Scarlett Bordeaux taps, and at the time, Kelly Klein remains 478 days unbeaten. I think in this situation, the way it'd been built up, that we wanted it to be more than what it was. But I guess it was the infancy of Scarlett Bordeaux's ROH career. So it makes sense. Yeah. Kelly Klein took her lightly. She put up a bit of a fight and then she got tapped out. So that's why it's our opening match from my perspective.
Yeah.
What did you think, Stephen?
I thought it was a fun contest. I think this is where I've became such a big fan of Kelly Klein, in that she's so, you know, technically sound, but also can be very vicious and very violent. And, you know, to say that they made out on commentary that it was just Scarlett Bordeaux's debut in the ring for Women of Honor. I thought she did a great job. I think she put on some really great offense. I think the crowd were really good for this one as well. And as normal, you know, Enric Abani and QT Marshall in this case were great on commentary as well. Really got across the significance of this match.
Yeah.
Loved the spot as well into the ring post right at the beginning of the match, which then led to the count, I thought, you know, out of the ring, which I thought was great. Mm-hmm. And I feel it was one of those matches where I wanted more from it, but I feel that it did deliver what I was expecting. So it was good. It was a good match. I would have wanted more, but what I saw was good. You see what I mean? It was like it didn't go to. This is the problem where you want matches to. This is where what happens where some matches can go way too long and then there can be a disappointment. Whereas this was just the right amount of time, and you want to then see even more to progress a feud. You know, you'll see this go happen again. It's basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. So, we're going to move on to the breaking news from our trusty ROH app. So, the Ring of Honor have produced their own podcast. That's interesting. And it's called ROH Strong. And this week's guest on episode one was the villain Marty Scurll. So I listened to this, and these are the notes that I took. I thought it was a fantastic job by Kevin Eck in terms of being a great interviewer, asking the right questions. So Marty said he's been hands-on with the booking since January. So I truly hope and believe that he was behind the Saturday Night Ascent stage ROH six-man tag team titles change to the Mex squad. He stayed because of loyalty. He's a student of the game, much like me and yourself, Stephen. Although no one's give us the book in wrestling. They should.
Not yet.
They really should, yeah. It's his dream job. give us the book. I want to be the pencil pusher. So he talked about working relationships with AEW and New Japan. Everything seems like that could happen, which is fantastic. He talked about the cancelled shows and people coming back for past versus present, and cancelled And then what was announced after I listened to this is there's more cancelled shows in June. ROH won't be returning to at least July. I think, just quickly get your opinion on that, Stephen. I mean, we're on the 5th of May as we record this.
Yeah.
And ROH are thinking that there's not going to be any wrestling until at least July. Is it too soon to think that way?
I think in the situation we're in, I think it's not too soon to think anything. And as we mentioned previously on the podcast, the main thing is making sure that the personnel and the wrestlers and the fans are all safe, and they're going into an environment where they will be safe to, see the product.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you can go one way and you can produce empty arena shows like a lot of companies are doing, and you can do that thing, but yet, in the case of Ring of Honor, they wanted to give the fans the experience of going to the shows and still that eagerness to go and see the products, and the actual talent.
Yeah.
So I think in a way it's kind of erring on the edge of caution. They haven't I mean, it's another month, and by that it could be that this month passes in June and everything's a lot more settled. You know, the last thing you'd want is for something to be scheduled for June and then it have to be pulled, and then all the shows have to be pulled, and then you have to, you know, work around things. So I think at the moment, I mean, I don't know fully as well in the US because we're based in the UK, so I don't know how it's working with sort of, you know, the announcements with the government and things and the legislations and things, but here in the UK we're kind of being informed as much as we can, but it is kind of a bit stilted in certain cases. So I think it's best to be cautious in this situation, and for the sake of everyone involved, I feel that, you know, it's the best thing to do, even though it's not what I would like to happen. It's what you have to happen at the end of the day.
Well, I was thinking I was going to get the best birthday present, well, kind of ever, by them saying, yeah, on my birthday, end of the month, yeah, we're bringing back the ROH shows. And I'm like, no, it's not happening. And yeah, your birthday isn't in July, so it can't be your birth present either. So Jeff Cobb is going to be the next guest on ROH Strong. We'll give that a listen. Yeah, Jeff Cobb, the Hawaiian juggernaut. We'll give that a listen, and before episode 27 of the ROH review coming by the end of this weekend, we'll let you know what happens on that. Joe Hendry versus is this new interesting show. An Army of One, The Journey of Flip Gordon. I'm hoping that is what we've seen on the show, not a separate thing, because I haven't checked that out. Pets of Honor is another thing as well. That's because they've done the like matches of honor for the month. I think they should have carried on that until wrestling came back. So we take this news from the ROH app and Kevin X Files, which is fantastic, and huge shout out to Kevin as well. It's his birthday today, so thank you very much for all the news we've been able to take from your X-Files. We wouldn't be able to do the ROH review without it. So thank you very much, Kevin.
Absolutely.
And, you'd like to say at this time about our partnerships, wouldn't you, Stephen?
I would, but we've got some even bigger news, though, Oliver, is that if we didn't mention this, but the Ring of Honor Wrestling is coming back on Wednesday at 11 o'clock on the Fight Network. That's the biggest news, what we didn't mention to everybody.
Well, I mentioned it
in passing.
I mentioned it in the intro, but yeah, you're right.
And it needs to have its slot here on the news for those fans here in the UK who, you know, have been mentioning since we kind of have been following the company that it's come back.
Fight Network UK. It made a lot of difference, and here we are. What are we? It's actually 13 weeks later, because unlucky 13, but for our fans, and then they lost the TV deal. Oh, man. You are correct. ROH comes back and is in an international night of wrestling, from Impact Wrestling 9 till 11, ROH 11 till 12. Showcase/ Fight Network UK is slowly but surely turning into the Wrestling Channel 16 years later. Yes. I don't know if you picked up on that, Stephen. But yeah, I mentioned it in the intro. You've mentioned it now. You're not getting out of talking about the partnership, so away you go.
No, absolutely not. It was just something we had to explain.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So our main partnership is with Powerslam.tv. So they offer over 7,000 hours of wrestling content from over 180 promotions in over 20 countries. That's grown substantially over the lockdown period. So thanks, guys. And you can get a month's free subscription to the service on us using the code BROKENFREE. Thanks to our partners at Broken But Glorious Podcast.
Absolutely. And now it's time for my Bobby Cruz imitation. It is the sincerest form of flattery, hopefully. So, yeah, our mid-card match is from Future of Honor, and it is between Baron Black and Josie Quinn. And, yeah, what did you make of this match, Stephen?
Absolutely loved it. This took place, as we know, in the dojo. We love the dojo. Brilliant. Joe Dombrowski again, brilliant on commentary. He mentioned, as we mentioned actually on the show previously, about the actual dojo being a good setting for the wrestlers to grow, because they can be watched by their peers and they can have sort of, you know, more interaction with, you know, the wrestlers in the actual dojo and learn from it. Mm-hmm. And the match itself was brilliant. You know, the mm-hmm. pre-match promos were great. There was no code of honor followed by Baron Black to begin the match, which is always an interesting little tidbit. I always like to, you know, if I had a tally for each time it's done, you know, and the, but
if you had a pound that was a good for each time it's been done, Stephen.
Exactly.
You'd have a pound, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Yeah. But it was a good match. You know, there was a lot of, you know, great spots. There was a Northern Lights bomb at one point, which was pretty scary. There was a great modified Texas Cloverleaf as well, what I took note of, which I thought was awesome. Mm-hmm. Baron Black as well, they said on commentary, had been wrestling for about 8 years, which, you know, surprised me, because mm-hmm. you think a lot of these people, a bit like J-Rock, where although a lot of these guys are young, they've been wrestling for a long time, honing the craft. So to see them in, you know, Ring of Honor is always great and exciting. And Josie Quinn as well, he was great. He, you know, great athleticism. And, you know, they said as well that they'd wrestled one another up in, was it Carolina they said? Oh, there was a certain state they'd faced each other before, but I just can't remember off the top of my head. I didn't make note of it. Georgia. Yeah. Sorry.
Atlanta, so, Georgia, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah. So I like that as well, that there was some independent link to this match as well. So they had faced each other before and seen it on a bigger stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, love this. How about yourself, Oliver? Did you enjoy this one?
Yeah, there's a reason why it's, you know, middle of the card on our ROH review. 6,000 views, again, is really good for a Future of Honor match. Joe Dombrowski is just brilliant on commentary. He really sells the match so really eloquently. I've been a fan of his since 1PW. There's a reason why, you know, he came over from Philadelphia to Doncaster to do, you know, the commentary on shows, because he's really that good at his job. Cool pre-match promos, which you touched on, but thankfully you didn't touch on what I wanted to talk about. Baron Black making a Bret Hart reference, that gets a huge thumbs up from me. He doesn't want to be the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. I'm not sure why you're in a wrestling ring if that's the case, but I loved his confidence. And a couple of things I picked out from the match was the Shooting Star Press and the Springboard Blockbuster by Josie Quinn.
Yeah,
was beautiful. And
yeah,
the dojo really, really, really adds to the matches, because it's like a lumberjack or lumberjill match, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But the, you know, the unique setting, the kind of gritty setting, it's like a Rocky film, you know, when he's like training in the boxing gym and stuff, and it just adds to it. Never, ever, ever do a Future of Honor match again in the arena. Just do it in the dojo.
Yeah.
Seriously. And send me and Stephen the clips, because we'll watch them all day long.
Well,
the modified Texas Cloverleaf, I mean, I'm a big fan of Dean Malenko, who kind of made it famous. This looked even more brutal, because Baron Black was like sitting on his back.
Yeah.
And Josie's got no choice but to tap out. Another world-class Future of Honor match. And Stephen picked it. So, you know, props to the main man, the co-host of the ROH Review.
Yeah, it was a good one, definitely. Great stuff there. So I shall lead us in to our show, why we have the Ring of Honor review. It's time to review Ring of Honor Wrestling for the week, which is the spotlight this time on the mercenary Flip Gordon. And it, I shall actually take it over now to you, Oliver, to open up on the show. So what did you make of the opening to the show this week and overall?
Just awe-inspiring, I think, the opening to the show. You know, talking about a difficult childhood where he had, like, mental health issues from, like, five, and wrestling was a life-changing, you know, thing for him. The need for a schedule, the fact that he traveled from Montana to Boston to get to be trained to be a wrestler, that's inspirational. And obviously his dog, Mantis, it just made you like laugh out loud, some of the things he was doing and stuff. So, really, really personable, you know, individual. My thoughts and feelings on Flip Gordon went up watching this.
Yeah.
And that goes into the first match, which is actually his ROH debut. Correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen.
Yeah, from what I've researched and from what I know, it was his debut,
And this was between Bobby Crewe's voice again. And this match was scheduled for 1-4.
1-4.
And it was between one of the greatest cruiserweights of his generation, Matt Sydal, against the debuting Flip Gordon. And, throw it over to the ROH expert, Stephen Jackson, for his opinion.
Yeah, so this was a very young Flip Gordon, the clean-cut John Cena-esque hair, you know, very military-esque haircut. This was brilliant stuff. You know, you can tell when you watch the match, they're like mirror images of each other, you know, the sort of Tajirian super crazy. Yes. This Tajirian super crazy-esque sort of, mix of the, sort of feeling out process was awesome.
Good reference.
Always reminds me of them, just because it's just such a great, you know, great sort of way to show the athleticism. Flip
the
Gordon, when he was in
was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm about to say when he was really doing the flip, that was awesome. So athletic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a match which was a showcase for... The one thing I did like is that Sydal let Flip Gordon shine, you know, fully. And he got in the springboard pele kick. He got the springboard into the pele. He got in the Kinder Surprise.
Yeah.
He was able to do... There's some great kicks. It was a really fun cruiserweight-esque independent match. Very much when we saw in the throwback last week between Matt Sydal and Jack Evans, very much how I would see those two facing one another, where it was kind of a, you know, just two daredevils going at it, and you didn't know what was going to happen. And the crowd were with them the entire way as well. They were loving it. And it was just great stuff. Great stuff. Great debut for Flip in the company. How about yourself, Oliver? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, like I said, first ROH match, and this was the opponent. Mirror images, which what you mentioned. I'm not really going to talk that much on the match. I just think this is one to go and watch, really. All I would say is Gordon is competitive against the veteran of this time period. So, if you want to see two wrestlers who can athletically go, then this is the match for you. A really, really good debut in Ring of Honor for Flip Gordon.
Absolutely. So, shall I introduce the next match?
I know you've You're waiting with bated breath to do it, Stephen, so why not?
So, our next match in the Flip Gordon Star Spotlight took place at Final Battle 2018, and it was the man himself, the mercenary Flip Gordon, against my most hated wrestler. Not my most loved wrestler, one of my most hated wrestlers, Oliver.
His most loved Bully wrestler.
Ray. No, he's not. Bully Ray.
Stephen likes Bully Ray more than Bandido.
No, that's sacrilegious, Oliver. We're not having that. Sacrilegious.
That's a deal breaker. It's 26 weeks in and he's going to walk off. Okay. Since you're so...
I'm going to do my academy. Just walk off.
Since you're so very enthusiastic about this match, Stephen, I'll take the lead. So, this is in the Hammerstein Ballroom, which is always a fantastic setting for wrestling. Colt Cabana and Ian Riccoboni on commentary are just the most amazing duo. And I can't wait to hear them on Retro Soft Games coming this summer. So this kind of like any other kind of I Quit hardcore match. Until Bully Ray grabs Flip's girlfriend, obviously with blood on his head, where we don't know where the blood come from because there was an advertisement. He wanted him to quit, wanted him to get down on his knees and stuff, going to powerbomb Flip's girlfriend through a table. Carrie Silkin comes out of nowhere with a kendo stick, which was just like, what? girlfriend does the low blow. Kendo flag, because Flip Gordon gets the flag and hits him. ST flag, I called it, because it's like STF, but it was with a flag. Silas Young interferes and proves that he's the last real man. Lighter fluid brings out Cheeseburger, who's taken out too. Colt Cabana comes in, he's taken out. Enter Sandman, that was out of nowhere. Double kendo sticks and Bully Ray quits. And Stephen rejoices and goes home a happy man.
I do.
What did you think of this match, Stephen?
This match was crazy. Like, you know, the whole thing of this feud, if you'd been watching the product like I had at this point, as I have been, it was everyone who came to run in to help Flip had some kind of interaction with Bully Ray throughout the year. So it was the redemption for them of Bully Ray finally getting beaten by, you know, Flip. That crowd in the Hammerstein were like an old ECW Hammerstein crowd. They were just on it. Like and that shot from the top of the entranceway, and you could see all the fans, I thought it was phenomenal. That's how it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, they were loving it. And it was it was a typical kind of ECW-esque match, but it was fun. It was, you know, it was fun.
It's a hell of a lot of fun. When
crazy.
From when he got Flip's girlfriend, that was a fun match.
Yeah. And his entrance as well, Flip, you know, when he came through the crowd with the flag they were going nuts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like as well how they teased the lighter fluid and they didn't use it. I thought that was a really nice little touch where they didn't actually set fire to the table, because obviously, you know, you're not going to do that. But
no,
you
know, of course not. This is an ECW.
But I thought it was.
Just quickly, if they had have set fire to that table, the place would have gone up. You see how much lighter fluid he put on there.
I'm surprised that he didn't pass out. I'm surprised he didn't quit, because he had his face in the lighter fluid, to be honest. Yeah, it was like, because he was getting the kendo sticks.
I hope not smoking backstage, because they might have lit him on fire.
Yeah, the Sandman didn't have a cigarette, thankfully. He only had a beer can.
That's probably the reason why he didn't have a cigarette.
But yeah, it was just crazy, you know, crazy stuff. It was a ton of fun. Flip got redemption for Ring of Honor, and it was one of those matches which, you know, harked back to a time when it was a lot more chaotic, and the side of Ring of Honor, which, you know, we always see as the traditional technical catch-as-can style wrestling, but they can do hardcore brawling in an ECW style match, which is just as fun and just as good.
Yeah.
And this was one of those matches. So
you're
really
giving
enjoyable.
Props to Bully Ray. What have you done with the
beaten.
Real Steven Jackson?
He got beaten. That's why I'm happy. Just wish it happened again.
Okay, fair enough. So the next thing on this really wonderful star spotlight in terms of the stories told between the matches was Philip explaining how he came up with the mercenary character, that he suffered a couple of injuries. He couldn't do the moves and the style that he wrestled before, and he had to change up his character. I thought it was really well done. And that leads into the main event of War of the Worlds, Night One in Buffalo, New York, as the Is he the mercenary at this point?
I think he'd just become... No, 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 I've just still been Flip Gordon at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
At that point. Yeah.
So, as Flip Gordon takes on one of Steven's many favourite wrestlers, the Lifeblood's Bandido. So, you've been wanting to talk about this for the last 31 minutes. take the floor, Steven.
Loved it. It's Bandido. I love Bandido. Can't not everyone loves Bandido. No, this was great. The venue I thought was absolutely awesome. I loved that shot of all of the fans, like in Texas, of them all stood up on the top row of the venue, and just the style and everything. I thought it looked great.
You know, this didn't
really
take place in Texas, don't you?
Yeah, in Buffalo. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So, alike in Texas.
Because Buffalo and Texas are two different places.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the crowd were interested in this one as well, because I don't know if you picked up on it, but they were very quiet at points and very sort of reserved, and then they'd pick up, which I thought was quite interesting. Yeah. I think it added to it.
Definitely.
This was quite early on as well in Bandido's Ring of Honor run. So kind of it was in one of his first big matches in the company. So it was a good match room to come into. But I just love this. The amount of high spots, the amount of athleticism, the amount of daredevil maneuvers. I mean, Flip said in the pre-interview, he didn't really do that much. He kind of toned it down, but he was still going for it.
He was going for a lot of danger still. Definitely.
The guardrail stuff was particularly vicious out to the outside. It was very much a match which was, you know, very even, in the sense that you didn't actually know who was going to get the upper hand. And I was rooting for both guys, believe it or not, but I was wanting Bandido to win out of the two, obviously, in some of the spots. I mean, I'm not going to give anything away for people, but you need to see this. The stuff these two guys did, I can't do it justice in words, because it needs to be seen to be appreciated how good it was.
Yeah.
But it was a match which I was looking forward to. It was a match I enjoyed, and it's a match which, you know, I can't wait to watch them face each other again at some point. It was great. How about yourself, Oliver?
Absolutely, and with the fact that the Mexi Squads just took the ROH World Six-Man Tag Team titles away from Villain Enterprises, you may get your wish. So, reversals, counters galore in the beginning, unbelievable. Much like the Sydal match that we talked about earlier, there were mirror images of each other. Colton and Riccoboni on commentary as well, they should always work together.
Yes.
They should have offered Colt both commentary and wrestling duties in Ring of Honor to keep him, because he and Ian Riccoboni were fantastic on commentary. One-handed press slam from Bandido shows why he's your favorite wrestler, or one of. Shooting star press by Bandido as well. The Lifeblood members, Overkill, Mark Haskins, and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, come to ringside. The Fall Away Slam moonsault is just a thing of absolute beauty by Bandido. Yeah. Right? That makes me understand more about why he's one of your many favorite wrestlers. ROH chance, but once again, much like every period of ROH, they really had to work for it. And the Star Spangled Stunner leads to a free count. And like you said, this was the main event of a War of the Worlds night one at the time. And it's like an independent wrestling match. It is just balls to the wall. Just, you know, fantastic action from start to finish. And much like the Sydal match, but maybe on a different level up. People just need to check this out, really.
Yeah.
And we've had three matches in this Star Spotlight for the first time since the Star Spotlights began. And, you know, you are kind of still wanting more from Flip Gordon and stuff. So to finish up, he said he was living his dream. There was a fantastic highlight video as well, which I recommend watching because it showed how he went from Flip Gordon to the villain. To Villain Enterprises, sorry. And that was fantastic. I want them to add a highlight video for every Star Spotlight from this moment forward. And that brings me nicely into why I am a free-time pro wrestling author, and that is because of these bad boys. So, first book, you might not be able to see it. Probably should take it out of the graph. But okay, I can't. A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Expression of British Wrestling. So, yeah, in the early years of the new millennium, three men led the charge in British wrestling: Wunderkid Johnny Storm, Doug Williams, and the Phoenix Jody Fleisch. This book is the story of my first hearing about British wrestling being talked about on British radio via TalkSport in 2001, all the way through to the first few months, 2007, of my almost two-year quest to prove British wrestling was as good as its counterparts in the United States, Japan, Mexico, and beyond. Secondly, and I mentioned ROH in this book as well. I was at ROH Unified. I was at the ROH Double Shot in Liverpool, England, as well as being at the same hotel as the ROH wrestlers. So that's the reason why you would buy a British wrestling book. Second book is a book I'm hesitant to talk about, but it has ROH blueprints all over it. As the phenomenal AJ Styles makes his WWE debut, Samoa Joe is mentioned, as is Seth Rollins. You know him better as Tyler Black if you're a Ring of Honor fan. Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen in ROH, etc. So this is A Fan's Perspective 2016, what a year to be a fan of WWE. 2016 was a truly great year to be a fan of World Wrestling Entertainment. Join me as I take you on a journey through every pay-per-view, Raw and SmackDown Live, NXT TakeOver and WWE Network Special. Read my alternative WrestleMania 32 booking, plus my thoughts and insights on all of 2016's major matches, segments, storylines and major news stories throughout this historical and groundbreaking time. And lastly, my third professional wrestling book, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. 2008 was a historical year in professional wrestling. Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels contested one of, if not the best, pro wrestling feud of all time. That's big praise, I tell you, but it really was.
Yeah.
I continued writing and reporting on the UK scene. My lifelong dream, attending a WrestleMania 24 live, came true, and I met my childhood hero, Bret the Hitman Hart. 2008 is the year WWE could have catapulted ROH alumni and my modern-day favourite wrestler, Paul London, to the main event. They didn't, so I fantasy booked him there. 2008 also had some great matches. I share my thoughts on some of the best. Lastly, 2008 was a big year in terms of the women's wrestling evolution we are now living through. I explain how we have got here. And as a special bonus, I share my thoughts on the beginning of 2009. So, yeah, all three books, as I get them together, All three books are available on paperback and Kindle. Kindle Unlimited for free on Amazon. You can get them signed by myself on fansperspective.bigcartel.com. And you can get them in store at Pro Wrestling Cartel, but because of coronavirus, it's not currently open. Stephen owns the British Wrestling and the Lifelong Dream Nightmare book. Tell them how good it is, Stephen.
Brilliant books. Great matches reviewed, great stories in them, and just great books. Awesome.
There we go.
Buy them, everyone. They're great.
And I didn't have to pay him a penny. I didn't pay him because, you know, cheap. But, yeah, so that brings us so nicely on to the next segment of the show, which Stephen is going to Bobby Cruz.
Yes. So, everybody, for the first time in history, the Ring of Honor, Era of Honor Begins main event is available for free on YouTube. And we reviewed it this week for our throwback, and it is our main event for this week. It is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, facing Low-Ki, facing the American Dragon, before he became Ryan Danielson, the American Dragon, in a three-way match in the main event in the Murphy Rec Center of the Era of Honor Begins. And I've got to give it to you, Oliver, for this one to start with. What did you make of this one after all these years?
Well, I think he was trying to say WWE's Daniel Bryan, but never mind.
Yeah.
Bloopers. Ian Riccoboni does the introduction. Yeah, yeah. Ian Riccoboni does the introduction on the YouTube, which I really thought added to it as well.
Definitely.
9,200 views. Obviously, it's only been recently sent out. And I sent this to you on WhatsApp. I might send this around my socials. So I wrote about this match in a fanzine years ago. Terrible, it was full of errors, but I got across the passion that I had for the match. I think much like yourself, we're not going to talk about this match too much. It just has to be seen, but excuse me. It's still awesome. It is the blueprint for every triple threat match. The standing over, and like I said, we're not going to talk too much about the match. We'll talk about the aftermath and stuff. The standing ovation after the match, the fans were standing during the match at many points. Ring of Honor chants. Mike Keener was the referee. Eric Gargiulo and Steve Corino were on commentary. The ending to the match and Christopher Daniels' his attitude and Bryan Danielson like firing up set up the round robin challenge, which happened the next month. So not only did Ring of Honor knock it out of the park with this match, but they set up other matches on their next show, which also did the exact same thing. Daniels walking off without doing the handshake broke the code of honor and set him apart from everyone else in the company. And this was an absolute beautiful pro wrestling match that took a company that was a concept and is a huge part of why we are still talking about it 18 years later. My review of this match can't get any better than that, Stephen. What did you make of it?
I think you just put it as eloquently as I don't know what I can add to it. It's as I said to you when we were talking about it, it's just history. This match is history. I need to thank Ring of Honor for putting this match finally up for free after all these years for everyone. And we will say as well, all the matches we review are available on our YouTube channel in our playlist we have on our channel.
Mm-hmm.
Please, please go and watch this match because, as Oliver mentioned, it is a blueprint for all triple threat matches. Three men who would go on to become future Ring of Honor world champions, three men who would go on to become the so-called forefathers of a company, which we're talking about now, and would go on now to become three of the biggest names in the industry were made in this match. And definitely. I would like to say as well that what is most amazing about this match is that there are a lot of things in it which I've never seen again in particular matches since this match.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things which were at the time had never been seen, but then were taken from this match and then put into other matches, triple threat matches.
Mm-hmm.
It's an innovative match. It's a historic match. It's, as you said, it's how a company, which was a concept, became a vision, which then became a company and is still here today. It's wonderful. I'm watching it all these years. It's one of those matches where no matter how many times you see it, it never becomes boring. It never becomes dull. You could watch this match every day for the rest of your life and you'd love it. I believe that wholeheartedly.
It's true. It's 100% true.
I just need to say again, just to Ring of Honor, because, you know, just thank you for putting this up for free. It had to be put in our throwback. It's a match I thought was already available on YouTube, but it wasn't.
No.
But it had to be spoken about on the show, and myself and Oliver. I don't know, actually, Oliver, I will say this. Did this show ever appear on the Wrestling Channel? Because I don't know if it ever did, from what I remember, or if Honor Begins.
I couldn't tell you, to be honest. I think the best way to sum this match is we've been doing so many throwbacks. Couldn't tell you when it started and stuff. This is the greatest throwback match we've done so far. And if that isn't enough build up to get you to watch this in your droves, then we got nothing else.
No.
It's the absolute best.
It's a pinnacle.
Yeah. There we go.
Yes. And
moving up swiftly on, because Stephen likes to talk about his stuff because he's very egocentric.
Yes. So I'm a self and I'm a member of the Wrestling Estate. You can find us on Twitter at the Wrestling EST. For Wrestling Estate. My most recent article, which has been put up today, was actually an article I wrote several years ago, which I found in the archives, which is the top 10 cruiserweights of WCW. So definitely go and check that one out. My previous article to that was an exclusive interview with New Zealand wrestler Will Power. So you can check out the website as well. So the www.thewrestlingestate, and we cover the WWE, we cover TNA Impact, we cover New Japan, Ring of Honor. We have a monthly newsletter, and each week we all take part in a roundtable, which is a set of questions which we all answer and then get submitted by our editor. So check us out at The Wrestling EST.
Yep, and just to go along with Stephen there, me and Stephen took part in an ROH roundtable where, as Stephen mentioned earlier about the forefathers of ROH, this was the Mount Rushmore of ROH. It's on the Wrestling Estate. It's a really great article. It involves myself and Stephen and many others. Go check that out. Yeah. That's my first writing assignment for years since my books came out. So, go check that out. It's really good. And thank you to John Corrigan and Stephen for getting me involved. Just to finish up, we're going to talk about our links and plugs. So huge thank you to Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast Network, to the lads. Thank you very much for hosting us since November 2019. We wouldn't have grown as much as we have without your support. So thank you very much. They're available on Twitter at BBG Wrestling. The website is bbgwrestling.com. For ourselves, it is at ROH Review on Twitter, at ROH Review on Instagram, ROH Review 2019 on Facebook, because that's when we were established. The YouTube is one of those that we've got to put in the description. Do the funny finger, Stephen. There we go. We have an email for suggestions, feedback, comments at all, ROHReviewOutlook.com. We want to say a big special shout out to Bob McGee of Pro Wrestling Between the Sheets for sending out our press releases. Chris from ROH World Pro Wrestling Ponderings for also sending out press releases and podcasts. And yeah, I think I've mentioned everyone. And yeah, just to finish up, we are not going to be releasing an interview this week because we want to get up to date with the Fight Network UK version of ROH. So Flip Gordon's interview, Star Spotlight, is going to be going out Thursday in audio, video on Friday. And on Saturday, we believe that the Fight Network UK is going to re-debut with a Star Spotlight and Overkill Mark Haskins. So that will be released on audio on Saturday and video on Sunday. And once again, much like we said with the Shaheem Ali interview, we want to use this platform to be advocates for mental health. And obviously, Flip Gordon talked about it in his Star Spotlight. If you are struggling at this moment in time, social distancing, isolation, lockdown is really tough on everyone. We urge you to pick up the phone, leave a voice note, make a video call, and just show people, and you'll see that people care. So be sure to reach out at this really trying time.
Absolutely.
And yeah, there isn't anything to add to that, is there, Stephen?
No, just echo your thoughts, Oliver. Just thank you, everyone, for all the support, especially in these times we're going through in, sort of COVID-19 and social distancing. We hope each week we're helping you all, get, not we always joke about our Ring of Honor fix, but I hope that we're bringing a bit of joy to you each week and some recommendations from ourselves just for you to enjoy. And, if you ever need to, there is always someone there to listen, or someone there to help, or someone there to, it's always someone there. So if you do need to talk to someone, if you need to, as Oliver mentioned, video call anyone, please do it. Don't stay in silence, please. Speak out and speak to someone. And just thank you, everyone, for the support. And just stay safe, everybody.
Yeah. And just quickly, if you'd like to donate towards the SoundCloud website of Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast Network, it is paypal.me/bbgwpod. And yeah, that's it for tonight's show. I am Freetime Pro Wrestling author Oliver Newman.
I'm pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
And we'll see you soon, I guess, with the Star Spotlight of Overkill, Mark Haskins, UK, Britain's own. Can't wait to do it. Okay, bye for now, everyone.
See you later, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.